To Pastor Nelson, I told the men yesterday, he said that Donald Trump, I guess, spoke to a group of preachers. And the story goes that one of the preachers pulled him to the side and led him to Christ. I told the men yesterday, I got a hard time believing that. Then Pastor Nelson said, well, he could be a baby Christian. I said, maybe he's not a born Christian yet. Amen. I said, but he might be saved. I said, I don't know. I'm not the judge of that. I said, but politicians will say anything when they know they're up for office, and they'll nod in assent to just about anything you tell them. Are you a goldfish? Yeah, I'm a goldfish. Amen. Yeah, I can do that. Amen. You want to get saved? Yeah, I want to get saved. And so I don't know his heart. But Pastor Nelson said that that's what happened with the group of preachers, so I don't know. So there's a spiritual principle. Does the candidate have a regard for the Word of God? And then not only spiritual principle and gender principle, there's a moral principle. Do they have a regard for life? Abortion is still killing. Go to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. And abortion is still killing. I don't care if Hillary endorses it, if Obama endorses it, if Trump endorses it, it's still killing. Isaiah 44 and verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. He said, you know what? I am the Lord that maketh all things. I formed thee from the womb. And so in God's eyes, we existed. We were living. Go into Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5, God says this to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God acknowledged Jeremiah's birth even before he was born. Isn't that magnificent? And so then how can we say that that which is growing in the woman is not born or not alive or not a baby when God says it is? So then the candidate has to have that moral principle. What do they think about life, and are they pro-life? And then the marital principle is something. Do they value the biblical view of marriage? And by the way, President Obama has already told you what he thinks about it. So, you know, the apple don't fall far from the tree. You say, preacher, are you bad-mouthing what they've already done? Yes. Yes, because it's not right. We have a Bible here, and the Bible tells us what's right. You say, well, that's just for you Christians. No, that's for everybody who wants to be born again. And by the way, they'll be judged by the same book that they don't like. And so I don't bite my tongue when I say, yes, they're wrong. They're wrong, and they're trying to teach your children wrong. And they're trying to get your children to accept that it's right when it's wrong. Can an Ethiopian change his skin, they say? Can a leopard change his spots? No. Go over to Genesis with me, Genesis chapter 2. By the way, depending upon what God does with our nation, if I say that to the wrong person, I'm going to get put in jail. If I say it to the wrong person, I'm going to get put in jail. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his what? Wife. They shall be one flesh. And so I don't care how many laws they pass. I don't care how they legalize marriage between two men and two women. We have a higher law to obey, and the Bible is true over everything, especially when it comes to morality. And by the way, God may be using Hillary or Trump to take our nation down. I don't know, but I do know this, that I'm not going to endorse or back abortion or same-sex marriage or transgender. I'm not going to do it. Amen. Well, preacher, well, you know, we could vote for them because they're going to give us jobs. They can give us money. They can give me a mansion. Yes, sir. I'm not going to yoke up with someone that yokes against God. That's a losing battle. That's a losing battle. So no matter what laws they make, The apostles said we ought to obey God rather than man in Acts 5:29. Then there's a religious principle. Not just the gender principle, the spiritual principle, the moral principle, the marital principle, but then the religious principle. Who best supports Christian values and our godly heritage as a nation like our founding fathers intended? By the way, all you have to do is go back and read some of the Constitution and the lettering and the wording, and you'll find that the people that penned it down feared God. When thinking about the religious principle, ask yourself, how will our freedom to worship and witness be affected? I don't know about you, but I've already seen signs in a housing complex, no soliciting. And then it clearly says, and no witnessing. It says those words, no witnessing. So they've gone from no soliciting to now no witnessing. And it's only going to get worse. Will we still have freedom to call sin, sin by the person that you elect? Let me read a prayer letter that came from Carrie Johnston. How many of y'all know Carrie Johnston? Who knows where she is ministering at? In China. Do you know that the Bible is outlawed in China? Do you know that we're not far from that? Everybody can censor what you can say, basically. This is a prayer letter that came from her. Urgent, it said. This morning, the police raided our church. We had been given a heads up, so we were able to leave before the police arrived. We're grateful for the Lord's protection. Last week, we began confronting a member of Truth Baptist Church about his sin. We carefully followed the teachings of Jesus in Matthew 18 as we went through the process. The goal was that a brother might be restored. However, the result was not as we had hoped. After being confronted one-on-one, the sinning brother continued to insist that there was no sin and that he did not have a problem. He then began to publish all kinds of sinful things on social media. Via social media, he sent everything to all of our church members. Later on, Neil and I went to sit down and talk with him again. Again, we were hoping that he would repent and get right. However, that did not happen. After several hours of heated talking, we left. We realized there was nothing else that we could do or say. One of this sinful brother's accusations was that because Neil and I are foreigners, that we just didn't understand. We then contacted two of our most spiritual Chinese brothers to go and talk with him. Our thinking was that since they were Chinese, maybe he would hear them, but he did not. He attacked them just as he had attacked us. After 5 or 6 hours of talking, they realized that there was nothing more that could be done. They got up to leave after pleading with him to rethink his actions. As they left, his last words were, "Tomorrow, I am coming to worship services, and I am calling the police." That is exactly what he did. He and his family came in and sat on the back row. Whatever the people were directed to do, he did the opposite. If instructed to stand, he sat. If instructed to sit, he stood. He was trying to prove that no one would tell him what to do. I stood to preach and he began shouting, "I have something to say. I have something to say." However, I didn't stop preaching. He began beating on his Bible and saying, "Everybody listen to me." Everyone knew something strange was going on, but they continued to listen to me. Several of our Christian brothers went to him and tried to quiet him. He continued to yell. When he saw that I refused to quit preaching, he pulled out his cell phone and called the police. Two of our elderly sisters went to him to speak to him. Normally, the Chinese are respectful of age. However, he hit, pushed, and shoved them. This was the last straw. Our men physically carried him out. One brother then came to the platform to inform me that the police were on the way. I immediately stopped preaching and addressed the problem. Because of his actions via social media and in our service, I didn't have to say much about his disruptive and sinful behavior. We immediately proceeded to exercise church discipline. The church voted unanimously to remove him from the church membership and deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Again, the ultimate goal is restoration, but at this point it seems unlikely. Upon completion, we had prayer close the meeting. Our men urged us, Neil and his family, Ben and his family, and me, Marta, is currently in the States helping our daughter, Heather, who just gave the birth of our grandchild. We immediately left, and the men really took over. They cleaned up all the Bibles and songbooks, removed all the computers, made sure there was nothing there that would incriminate us, the foreigners. Once the police arrived, all of our people but two of our men had gone. The police warned them that this was an illegal meeting. The man that had called the police kept talking about the foreigners. He specifically told them that I was the pastor. He wrote down my name, Neil's name, and Ben's name for the police. They asked one of the men who remained about me. He acknowledged that I was the pastor. He had to give them my phone number. However, he simply told them that Neil and Ben were my sons. They didn't ask any other questions. Since there were no foreigners present, there was nothing that they wanted to do. They suggested that if they couldn't find me within 30 to 60 days, the case would be dropped and they would stop looking for me. I've booked a ticket to return to the States tomorrow, which was this past Monday. I plan to stay in the States for approximately 60 days and then return to Beijing. Everyone thinks that if I am not flagged going through customs leaving tomorrow, nothing more will happen. Please pray that this is the case. He goes on to wrap up things about it, but I read that to let you know that we're not far away from something like that. Given the right leadership here and giving the laws against Christianity, and giving the laws of which you and I say against transgenders and homosexuality and lesbianism and all sorts of other moral and immoral sins, you and I could be put in jail. This church could be closed down. They could do many, many bad things to shut the gospel up. Now, ultimately, we know the devil is in charge of that. But I wanted you to read that to know that what happened in China can happen here and ultimately will happen here. It ultimately will happen. The question is, will it be in our lifetime? So there's a religious principle. How will your freedoms and my freedoms be affected? By the way, the Islamists can say what they want to say about Jesus Christ. They can drag his name through the mud and call him all sorts of names. But the minute you speak against Allah, then that's a capital offense. They can talk about our Bible and how it's not right and it's not true. But the minute you speak against the Quran, that's a capital offense. They can speak about all the prophets, Elijah and Moses and all these. But the minute you say something against Muhammad, that's a capital offense. That's intolerant. They can say what they want to say, but as soon as you say, well, you're wrong, that's intolerant. As soon as you call homosexuality sin, that's intolerant. But they're entitled to their opinion to call it right. But I'm not entitled to my opinion to call it wrong. That's a double standard. That's a double standard. If you want to call it right, I have every right to call it wrong. And there shouldn't be any law against that. Religious principle. Then there's a terrorist principle. Who will crack down on terrorist groups swiftly and decisively at home and abroad if elected? Say, preacher. Now, I know folks have said some crazy things about Donald Trump. He doesn't have diplomacy, doesn't have this, doesn't have that. But I tell you what, he says, I'll put you down in a heartbeat. Amen. He won't bat an eye. Now, I don't know if he'll do it or not. But he doesn't mind saying it. Now, I'm not saying I agree with him about stereotyping and who we let into America, but I'm saying we've got to be careful who we let in America. And I'm saying we've got to screen who comes in America. And I'm saying we've got to have some tighter scrutiny on who comes in this country. Now, I'm all for bringing in refugees and people that are at political nations' disposal and helping them out. But I say we still need to screen them because some countries just want to get rid of their scum and their filth and offload on the next country. And so there's a terrorist principle. Who will crack down on terrorist groups swiftly and decisively, home and abroad? Then there's a military principle. How will our security defenses be affected worldwide? Not blaming Democrats, but blaming Democrats. They have weakened our international defenses more than Republicans by closing bases overseas and minimizing our presence globally over the last 12 years. Kenny can attest to this. When we were stationed in Belgium and in Germany, bases were closing down left and right and left and right and left and right, and the military presence began to diminish. Well, there's no more threat. Well, what do you call ISIS? What do you call Taliban? What do you call it? There's no more threat. I think there is. And so many bases were closed down, and I think we did more to damage our nation's security than anything else. But at the same time, God's got a plan. And I believe God's plan is that America is not going to be a superpower anymore. We're not going to be a key nation. It's happening slowly but surely, and he's using key people to do it. So there's a military principle. How will our military might be affected and our national defense and security defenses be affected? Then there's the security principle. Who best will protect our national borders, and how will immigration be improved? And I'm sure you all have your own thoughts on that. I'm not telling you I got an answer for it, because I don't. But I do know it needs to be fixed. I do know that. I was just talking to, I think it was Brother Scott. And he's trying to get his young preacher to come up here, and I had to write a letter for him to get down to get his visa. And he said the government now is very careful who they give visas to come to America. And I said, why is that, when they don't care who comes across illegally? He said, because now it's a hot item, because everybody's talking about it now, and Hillary's talking about it, and Trump's talking. So they don't want to give visas out just to anybody, and so now it's tougher to get it. Now, if you come over illegally, that's on you. But it's tougher to get that now. So the security principle, who best can protect our national borders and our interests at home and abroad, protecting the jobs and protecting the things that we value most and protecting our safety and stopping the drugs from coming down. And by the way, let me give you this: when it comes to the drugs coming across our border, it is just like it was in the days of Elliot Ness and Al Capone. If people want it, people are going to get it. Supply and demand. If I want drugs, I'm going to get drugs. So you cannot blame the drugs. It's not the drugs' fault. The drugs can't take itself. It's people that want the drugs. Just like it's not the alcohol's fault. It's the people that wanted the alcohol. They would go to great lengths to get the alcohol. Why do you think Al Capone made so much money? Because people wanted to drink. So it is with drugs. You can put all kind of laws out there and stipulate this and that. If people want drugs, they're going to get drugs. Preacher, what's the answer? The gospel. It's always been the answer. Get them saved. You know what stopped me from drinking? The gospel. I got saved. I looked at my liquor bill. My liquor bill used to be 270, sometimes 300 bucks a month. I like in Belgium, they call it a sin tax. They call alcohol and tobacco a sin tax. They're going to tax you for your sin. Now, I'm not talking about grammatical sin tax either. Amen. And so what got me out of the drinking business? The gospel. Then there's a Second Amendment principle. How will our right to bear arms be affected by the enforcing of gun laws? Will you still be able to defend yourself and your home? Amen. By the way, if some folks have their way, nobody's going to have a gun. We see how well that does in London, huh? Can you imagine this nation not having a gun? You can't have a gun. You can't protect your home. And if you shoot somebody, it's against the law. Amen. So the Second Amendment principle, we have a right to bear arms. Who will keep guns away from the unfit and leave them with the fit? And who will decide how that process works? I'm just saying. You look at some of the latest statistics of mass shootings, and these folks were mentally challenged oftentimes. These folks were unstable, and they were not flagged. They were not checked, and somebody missed the beat on them, and so they got the guns. And so now, to make this system work, let's just take the guns from all of y'all. Nobody's got one. Well, it's just like the alcohol, the drugs. The people that want them are going to get them, and then they'll shoot you and hold you up because you don't have one. I'm just saying. And then there's the economic principle. See how far down that one is on the list? That one's way down the list. The economic principle. How will the economy be affected? Who will take us deeper into debt? Who will begin to take us out of debt, and how? Will they raise your taxes? By the way, President Obama said he was going to get us out of debt. That was 8 years ago. Are we out of debt? Are we better off?
No.
You know, it's something about when you get into the trillions. Kind of going to take a long time to pay that off. When you get trillions. And then when you continue to give people credit cards, and you continue to let them go bankrupt, and you continue to give them credit cards again, and let them go bankrupt again, and they can buy all this stuff. Well, preacher, we're a capitalistic society. That we may be, but we're an indebted society too. The economic principle. Then there's the medical principle. And that was low on the list too. Who will improve health care, Medicare, Social Security? Will your health care be forced upon your employer, or will it be forced upon you? Or do you even have to have it? No Pastor White's thoughts on that, amen. Medical principle, amen. Then there's the oil or alternative energy principle. Who will keep us hostage to Middle East oil? How many of y'all like seeing oil prices go up? Just when you think they start coming down, they shoot right back up. You know, the Middle East has us by a string, yo-yo string, that is. Who will keep us hostage to Middle East oil, and who will investigate other avenues of energy? Just put these out there. Who can best handle the following God's way? Domestic and foreign affairs, identity with American core values. Who can best deal with crises, situations decisively and delicately? On and on and on we could go. There's so many issues out there. I don't have time to go through all of them. But as you and I set out to vote, these are just some of the key areas. Notice I put the medical down at the bottom. I put economics down at the bottom. Why? Economics is normally not which causes a nation to go down. Medical is normally not which causes a nation to go down. Oil is not normally what causes a nation to go down. What normally causes a nation to go down, first and foremost, is the morality and their laxity and their perversity and their crookedness and their wickedness and their vileness. That's what normally causes a nation to go down. You think about Nineveh. It was their wickedness. God said, cry against their wickedness, Sodom and Gomorrah. If I could just find 10 righteous people there. But he couldn't. He said, you're going to be destroyed. Wickedness is what nations go down for. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. We have sown as a nation wickedness, and we shall reap as a nation wickedness. You say, preacher, but what about God's mercy? I honestly believe that God's mercy is done for our nation. I'm not trying to be fatalistic. I just believe that we've done the worst that we could do. And we can do worse, but I think that God's saying, okay, my time is up. Yes, you were the number one leader in sending missionaries around the world at one time, but you're not doing that anymore. By the way, at one time, America was the leader in sending missionaries around the world. Last time I checked, do you know who was the two leaders in sending missionaries? The Philippines and Mexico were two of the leading nations in sending missionaries. Two of some of the least expected nations. The Philippines and Mexico sending missionaries? But wait a minute, that's what they say about America. But we're not doing that anymore. We're not sending missionaries like we used to. We're not concerned about what God's heartbeat is, and that's missions and getting people saved. We're concerned about making money. We're concerned about capitalism. We're concerned about getting more and paying less for it. We're concerned about gimme, 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 gimme as a society. And as a result, we have neglected the spiritual aspects. And so we have sown the wind. And as the prophet said, I believe we're going to reap the whirlwind. Now, I don't like to admit that, but it's true. You think about where we're at today as opposed to where we were at 50 years ago. It's a shame. It's a shame. I can't even watch regular TV anymore. They curse at you on regular TV. They take their clothes. Everything you hear is about Viagra this and Viagra that and all these other innuendos. And you're thinking, really? Do I have to go through this just to watch a program? You say, preach, that's why we chucked our TV a long time ago. Amen. Praise the Lord. However, I believe with some of these basic principles here, you and I can use some discernment in our vote to have a clear conscience before God. I believe that God does want us to vote. I believe God wants us to get out there and make a difference. But at the end of the day, I still go back to what we said this morning. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. These people in our nation need the gospel more than they need a president. By the way, as you go to the polls to vote, Keep in mind, you're not voting for a pastor. You're voting for a president. You can't expect him to have the same qualification that the pastor has. But you can scrutinize and say, you know what, how close is this candidate to biblical values and to the core values of this nation? What does this nation stand for? What has this nation stood for over the past years? And how has it been changing? And who's been changing it? And you begin to see a trend. And I believe there's no coincidence that we are in the predicament that we are now with the two choices that we have. My question is this: why didn't Pence run for president? Yeah. I would have rather picked him. Amen. He's not ashamed to say, I'm a Christian first and foremost. Yeah, Brother Sarah. No, I'm not going to mention him. But there are more candidates that are out there. I would say do your due diligence. There are others out there that you really need to investigate. They may be worth your vote. You may think they are. You may say they're not. But there are other avenues out there. There are other people running. They may not be a party-elected candidate, but there are other people out there. Is this going to be one of the most famous elections in America? I believe it will be. Either way it goes, I think it's going to be one of the most famous elections that goes down in history. Either way, if Hillary gets it, it's going to be famous because she's the first female. If Trump gets it, it's going to be famous because I don't know what to expect. Amen. But consider those things, folks: the gender principle, the spiritual principle, the moral principle, the marital principle, the religious principle, the terrorist principle, the military principle, the security principle, the Second Amendment principle, the economic principle, the medical principle, the oil or alternative energy principle. And I could go on and on, but those are just some that I think we need to really be concerned about as we look at the individual. And that's not just for president. That goes for who you're going to vote for the state representatives. And who you're going to vote for in the Senates and the local areas and the Tucson areas and things of that nature. If a person openly is going to tell you that they're gay, how could you in good conscience vote for that person when God says that that's not right? Just saying. If they say, I'm gay and so I'm going to run for this or whatever, can I in good conscience biblically choose that candidate? Well, he promises or she promises this, that, or the other. They can promise all they want. But I want to side with someone that's going to be closest to God and the values of God. Pastor, are we going to find a Christian to be president? Probably not. Probably not. Preacher, why not? Our nation doesn't want that. Our nation wants Hillary, and our nation wants Trump. That's what overwhelmingly they want. They want someone like Trump that's loudmouthed, that's obnoxious, and that's a womanizer. That will just say anything, or they want someone like Hillary that's immoral and that's lawless and that wants to legalize everything from A to Z, that's immoral and be tolerant and accepting of everything. That's what our nation wants. And as a Christian, we still have to make sure we're praying for the position, not the person. You don't have to pray for the person, but you're praying for the position. The Bible says pray for those that are in those leadership positions. You may not like what they do, but guess what? If they're there, they're there. By the way, when it comes to all things that you and I do, our final authority still is the Bible. Amen. And we ought to obey God rather than man. I don't care what they legalize. We should do what God has told us is first and foremost. We ought to obey God rather than man. Now, I'm going to set these things out there in the foyer. Please, if you didn't get a chance to look at these, please look at these. They have some information in there, and I've got certain pages flagged by what they stand for, so you might want to take that up to look at some of the propositions and see what's there, some of the candidates that are running, but you have at your disposal the libraries and the internet where most of these candidates are out there, and you say, Preacher, we can't trust them. You're right, you can't trust them, but you can trust God. You can trust God. You know, every president that's gotten up there has lied in some way, shape, fashion, or form. So why do you think the ones that are running for president now are going to start changing that? Is it sad pickings today? Yes, but it's a sad day in America. It's a sad day when the Russians can get excited about the American elections. That's a sad day when they get excited about our elections. But amen, it is what it is. Folks, I'm not trying to be a doomsday prophet, but you and I have some hard times ahead of us. It behooves us to get out and win more souls to Christ. It behooves us to do that. Why? Jesus is coming. And Jesus is coming soon. This nation is going to go down as a superpower. It has to. It has to. Now, whether it goes down whilst we're here, I don't know. But our nation has to go down as a superpower because it is not a key prophetical player in prophecy. And so the nation that you and I know right now, 50 years ago, our parents were shuddering at that time. And then you go 100 years back, they were shuddering at that time. We go back 8 years when President Obama got in. Who ever thought that gay marriage would be legalized by 2016? I didn't. I remember I was so heartbroken when G2 was born. I said, he's got to go through this. G2 was 4 years old when Obama was born. Now he's 12. I never in my life thought that Gregory, my son, would see same-sex marriage legalized all across. I never thought he'd see that. I thought that was after the rapture when I was long gone. No U.S. president would do something like that. No U.S. president would go so far and be so bold as to do nobody. I think that we ain't seen nothing yet, for lack of a better phrase. We haven't seen anything yet. We've got to stick with the biblical values that we know are here. Yes, I know the elections aren't the greatest. Yes, I'm sure there are better picks that could have run. But we have who America wants. We're in the Laodicean age, the church age, and everybody thinks they're okay, and they're not. Folks, when you go to the polls, pray. When you vote, pray. When you write in your ballot, pray. When you look at what's there, pray. When you make your choices for propositions, pray. Pray. Pray most of all that you can just endure and sustain your Christian walk in these next 4 years. I don't care who takes office, because it's going to get tough for you and I to stand and continue doing what we're doing. It is. And I feel sorry for Joy and some of the other little babies here. I don't know how it's going to be when they get to be at 12 years of age. But look at how it is right now. Could it be because we're not praying enough for our nation? Could be. Could it be this is just God's timetable? I know that to be true. But guess what? God would not leave us here if we couldn't make a difference. The gospel still hadn't lost its power. It still hadn't changed. It can still save. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to get dismissed. Amen. You say, preacher, this is discouraging. No, it's not discouraging. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. Amen. As we close, read Psalm 75 for you again. It says, lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Father, you in your sovereignty will choose whom you will. God, we just want to get involved with your program. And Lord, we want to make sure that we can stand in the days ahead. We know the days are evil. The days are going to be difficult. But Lord, we know that you already knew that these days would be that way. You let us know that we can stand, therefore, having our loins girt about with truth. You said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, we need to stand. God, help us as we go to the polls. Help us as we go to vote. Help us to do our dead level best to be a witness and a blessing. Lord, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Lord, help it not to be hid, but to be evident and brightly shining to all those that are around. Lord, we know the elections can bring out the worst in people. But Lord, may it bring out the best in us. And may we go around letting people know, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. My help does not come from the White House. It comes from the big house in heaven. Lord, and I pray that you would help us to recognize that fact, that no matter what happens here on election day, that you are still our strength and our power and we don't have to fear who gets in office. Thank you so much for being a God that loves us and cares for us. Give us traveling mercies as we go our separate ways, God, and give us wisdom from on high. Pastor White,